So welcome everybody listening. I'm joined today by Kareem Hirani, who is the learning architect at Coaches Rising. You've heard him before on the podcast, perhaps. He's joined us before as a guest. And we are having this conversation to explore our mutual passion, our mutual journey and exploration that we've been on around leadership in the 21st century, and particularly how are some of our ideas around leadership being challenged? What are we being invited to let go of as myths around what leadership is? And therefore, what are the consequences for people coaching leaders? And so we're going to talk about that. And well, what we want to do is also just name that this is what our program that's currently enrolling called Reimagine Leadership is all about too. So this is going to be informative. And for those of you that feel inspired, you may want to check out Reimagine Leadership. So Kareem, how does that sound to you?
Yeah, sounds really interesting. Yeah, looking forward to what emerges in our conversation.
Before we get into today's podcast, I've got an invitation for you. We're about to kick off a program that I'm particularly passionate about, and you'll hear that in many of the recent podcasts, because it's an embodiment of our mission as a company to evolve human consciousness. The program is called Reimagine Leadership, and it really is that. It's a new paradigm in leadership coaching. The best leadership coaches in the world from multiple disciplines, they're all coming to the same conclusion, which is the old models of leadership and leadership coaching just aren't fit for today's challenges. Today's leaders need coaches who understand that leadership goes beyond the individual. Acknowledging the inherent interconnectedness of the people, the systems, the ecosystems, and fields of awareness we live inside, human beings are fundamentally relational beings, and so much of our power as coaches lies in our capacity for deep relatedness. To be able to coach and release the intelligence and information that resides inside of the relationships our clients have, whether that's with their bosses, with their teams, their colleagues, their families. So this program takes you right to the heart of that principle, giving you the skills to partner with today's leaders to help them reanimate and reconnect the world around them. And it goes beyond that. Through this training, you'll learn to shift your own consciousness, which underlies all of your coaching capacity, so that you can become the next evolution of yourself as a coach. So it's going to be an amazing, transformative journey. And I do hope you'll come and join us. You can find out more by heading to coachesrising.com/reimagine leadership to book your spot. The first class is on October the 30th with Bob Anderson, so you can sign up until the day before that. And if you sign up by October the 9th, you can get the early bird discount. So again, if you're interested, you can head to coachesrising.com/reimagine leadership to book your spot. Okay, let's dive now into the podcast. Maybe therefore we could just speak a little bit, each of us, into our own personal journeys around what we hold leadership to be and why some of our thinking might have changed, and maybe why that led to then creating Reimagine Leadership. But yeah, just wondering what comes up for you about what inspires you around this journey of learning you've been on. What have you learned?
Yeah, I think on a personal note, you know, having coached for a few years now, I think I noticed, you know, the starting of coaching was all about let's help this individual to reach their goals. And there was lots of great stories about that success. And actually in practice, what would happen is we would create goals, but many times there were so many obstacles, we wouldn't quite get there. And I think the whole feel that really jolted my thinking was this person is in a wider context. This person's not just this individual that's creating their own life without that context also being part of that change process. And that was a huge insight for me many years back, which I think, you know, when I come to Coaches Rising, you know, the view that we are in a field and we're operating within that. And therefore, you're not coaching the individual, you're coaching the relationships, you're coaching the interconnections. And those interconnections far and wide. And, you know, in a moment, I know we'll talk about a couple of examples of what that's looked like in practice. But I think that's been really huge for me. And then when I hear people like Bob Anderson talking about the science of what today's quantum universe is talking about in very simple terms, you know, it's the science is actively proving that we are an interconnected being. You know, we're flashing in and out of existence, but we're this process that's connected to others. And so I think what's inspired me to continue that journey here with this program is how do we bring that both that awareness to life? And then what does it look like in coaching? You know, like it's quite a magnanimous view, but what does it look like when you're coaching your leader tomorrow? And the last piece I'll say, Joel, is, you know, the big issues for me are around the fact that we're disconnected from each other, from the planet, etc. You know, the climate issue is about being disconnected from Earth and, you know, the impact we're having. And I think the whole well-being thing is about our disconnection from ourselves. You know, we've had DEI, which is about connection to each other beyond our patterns. And so connection and the interrelationships, you know, for me are the way we come back into contact with who we are in our essence. And therefore, coaching with that view and that paradigm, I think is a huge change from let's go for this individual and support them to, you know, be better in their world. How about you, Joel? What stands out for you?
Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty thrilled these days about the learning journey I've been on and how certain threads all seem to be kind of interweaving together. Certainly, you know, I think a few years ago, I started seeing people like Dave Snowden, whose name I've dropped on this podcast a lot, challenging particular views of how the coaching community would hold what leadership is and therefore what coaching is. And what he was pointing out was, you know, a tendency to kind of atomize leaders, to see them as somehow disconnected from the systems, the teams, the organizations that they're within, and to then reduce leadership to a kind of fixed set of competencies, which are static and decontextualized. And I found that kind of disturbing because I think he was pointing to a lot of the views that I held that were dear to me. And actually, what was beautiful was what opened up was this, and what you're talking about was this invitation into the relationality of our experience. You know, people like Ian McGilchrist talking about participatory consciousness, how the relationship between things is more primary than the things themselves. And Steve March, one of my coaching mentors, talking about this depth of fluid differences, where it's the relationship and the differences between things that are more primary. And yeah, you just see that everywhere now. You see that worldview, you know, in Dan Siegel's idea of MWE, like M-W-E. And even the spiritual traditions, you know, Buddhism and other traditions that I was immersed in, talking about this sense of interconnectedness. And I think for a long time, I kind of held that notion of interconnectedness through the mindset of, like, I am a, you know, hyperly individuated sense of self that's disconnected from the world. And I have this inner world, which is separate. And so it's been quite a journey to actually enter into the kind of ontological, phenomenological experience of relationality, which is very enlivening and also a little bit vulnerable because of it invites me in a sense out of this like castle, you know, this like sense of separate self into an immediacy and an immersion in experience. So Yeah, and I anyway, so that's been quite a thrilling journey, and I think it then brings all types of it brings all kinds of questions about, therefore, what is leadership and what is leadership coaching?
Yeah, and it sounds like that's inspired the program itself. You know, there's curiosities and awarenesses.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think with reimagined leadership, it's been challenging in a sense because, you know, it would be easy to, or easier in a way, to create something that was said like, this is the new version of leadership, you know, and kind of play that game of saying it's about this fixed set of competencies and that's what leaders should be. You know, the old way is bad and this way is good. But I think that would be falling into some of the same traps, you know. So, yeah, what we've attempted to do is to try and create something which is, you know, in a sense, like maybe not even quite saying exactly what leadership is. More, I think it's pointing to what is a kind of a generative ontology rather than prescribed ontology of leadership. So that sounds like fancy words, but what I mean is, like, rather than saying, you know, this is the view of leadership. It's got these 15 competencies. These are prescriptions, and you should fit into those. It's more talking about what are the ways of being that we can inhabit that actually open up leadership, allow us to tap into a sense of shared leadership that's systemic and that allows for insight and action to unfold from where we are rather than be something prescribed that we impose on our experience. So, in a sense, like, again, it sounds kind of fancy, but like, how can we be with our experience in a way that revelation occurs, in a way that connection and insight occurs that's supportive to both being, you know, to both leading and to leadership coaching?
Comes to my mind, Joel, is this is the lovely example that comes to mind that brings what you've been sharing, what we've been sharing to life. You know, what does it look like? Because I know one of the questions I held in that transition was, how on earth do you bring it into coaching? Like, this is quite big, you know, and this feel that we're interconnected in, and I'm sitting in front of this leader. How do I bring this in? And it's just probably a very powerful coaching session I experienced was with a leader in a school, and I think it was head of a department. And you know, the classic, you know, you've got to improve performance, you know. And so me coming in as a coach, going, right, how do we help you to improve, get better results out of the class and out of the team, and then, you know, I was learning all of this stuff, and so we looked at the system. And just tuned in. So he drew the system aspects, you know, different departments, the head, but also beyond the school, you know, the pressures that come in from outside to be focused on performance, but also included, and this is where the shift was, the parents. As we were looking, feeling and attuning to this wider system, what we noticed was the relationship between the pupils and their parents was just non-existent. There wasn't a line. You couldn't draw a line between them because there was no connection from within the school to outside. And almost this light bulb opened around, that's where the real issue is. You know, the parents are not engaged in the learning of their children. You know, they're not participating in it, not getting interested. They don't even know because the school wasn't doing much outreach with parents at that time, other than, you know, the end of year reporting. And I could feel it in the session, like our hearts open, a sense of, oh my God, that's where it is. It's not in this leader in front of me that needed to perform better and get, you know, what's the best techniques we can bring in. It was complete connecting the dots, the relationship between parent and school. And he started a journey around, it was via a library where parents could come in and participate in the learning process. And then, of course, it carried the momentum over to other functions, but it was huge, you know. And if I come back to what you were saying, it was the bringing in this kind of wider system rather than this individual who's got to be better at performing tuning in, noticing where the disconnect was in the relational field. And then the action that followed from there would have been so different from the, here's the five things you're going to do better in your competencies and in your teaching capabilities and in your teaching of other teachers' capabilities. That, and it unlocks so many other consequences, you know, connecting up dots across functions. And, you know, bearing in mind, I think it really helped to look at the broader system of, you know, the pressure of performance and even the academic system is part of that atomized view of, you know, this, each individual's got to do great and perform and the teacher's got to do that. And so it's almost coming out of that fishbowl that they were in of, you've got to go from A to B and every individual's got to do that and you've got to make every individual get there, to we're in this unfolding system and here's the part of the system that's not connected. And when we participate together, something unfolds, you know, and it was beautiful. It felt right, as opposed to, you know, got, you know, that kick you get out of, right, we're going to try this technique. And it was a huge shift.
Yeah, beautiful example. And what it brings up for me is something I've been thinking about. And I'm curious what how you would apply it to this example. It's almost like you've got, and we've built this into Reimagine Leadership. What I noticed is, like, on the one hand, you've got the systemic people who are kind of saying, some really important things, you know, like we've atomized the leader. We've kind of reduced leadership to being in the individual rather than being a distributed kind of function that emerges within teams and systems. And the gold in that. And then you on the other side, you've got the people saying, like, well, it's really important that we do deep inner healing work or deep inner integrative work. And, you know, if you are fragmented, if you're contracted, if you're not individuated as a person, that's going to really hobble the way that you lead, you know, and the way that you're able to hold yourself within a complex system. And there seems to be so much value in each perspective. And yet, you know, the systemic people will be saying something like inner work, you know, there is no inner and outer. That's a false dichotomy. And I see why they say that. And yet there's real value, it seems to me, in, you know, almost holding that idea of inner as a metaphor, as a doorway into this kind of healing work, which often is systemic and collective in its nature. And once there is a kind of integration and resolution, that doesn't actually change the person so much as it changes the system. I think it does. Then that, you know, it's also not true that we can say people, of course, they mature and they develop. So, and we've tried to, we've brought both those perspectives into Reimagine Leadership and we're fitting them together. How do you see that in this example that you brought in?
Great question. Yeah, it's a great inquiry. And as you were speaking, what I was noticing was, like we're conceding in Reimagine Leadership is kind of, how do we hold both? And in this example, I noticed that the contracted view that this leader was holding initially needed to be worked through. And it definitely had some individual patterns that were also systemic. So it was almost like he was a mirror of the outer, but we were exploring his version of, you know, how do we make everyone be great? His version of, you've got to get from A to B. And there was some patterns we worked with around that, so that he could relax from those identities that were in him, but also out there. And then he could expand to feel the system and operate with these other participants in the system, like becoming more aware of those participants, like the parents, like, you know, the other departments that started to create the library with him. So it was almost like there was a both and. It was him relaxing the patterns in him, the contractions, and then opening up, and then opening up to the field. So then he was participating in the field more openly. So it was almost like a both and. We had the system and he relaxed his individual contractions to open up to the system. And then therefore see where the real shift needed to happen in this moment, as opposed to the contracted view was, I've got to do it or I'll blame someone else, to what's emerging here. And in his shift, he was able to view the real shift that needed to happen in the system as well. But yeah, that's what's coming up for me now, Joel, as I'm kind of reflecting with that lens of both and.
I think this is what we're zeroing in on, where these two views come together for me. One of the ways is, it seems to me that if there is a, whatever word we want to use, like trauma or conditioning or contraction in the self, that often leads to a sense of disconnectedness. It often leads to a sense of me and them, me versus them, like, or they're the problem, or separation. And what I often see with clients is that as we include that, so the coaching isn't one of, okay, well, you feel that way. Tell me how you really want to feel. Let's create a vision of how things should be, and we're going to kind of push through to get to that place. No, instead, as we meet that sense of struggle and how it's showing up and begin to include it just the way it is, and meet it with love, with presence, then often it can begin to shift. It can begin to integrate, and the person in that moment will cease a struggle with their experience, and something will open up. And what results from that opening up and from that integration is a sense of connectedness again. It's like as if the sense of separation and judgment has vanished, and now it's like, oh, I see that I am a part of this system, and even that I can connect to our shared sense of purpose. What's the shared purpose and meaning that connects us and that we're oriented to, which is a very powerful shift. It liberates this kind of sense of emergence for me, a sense of possibility.
And that's beautifully articulated, because there's this red thread that reminded me of what we are inviting people to recognize as almost a way of being in the system, where you are tuning in to what is here, you know, and really opening up, including the pattern that might be not, you know, a trauma or a belief, and really welcoming that, you know, like with heart, with love, for it to be invited to unfold, to reveal. And that's what tends to happen, is something emerges through that. And that's the second element. So there's this kind of attuning, meeting, and then there's this allowing that, as we welcome everything, there's a revealing that's allowed to happen. And then there's a different action. You know, it's not the action, you know, back to the example of how you're going to be better in pushing for better results. You know, it was the creation of something different, this kind of library that supported the reconnecting between, you know, parent and child, and school. So yeah, I think that, you know, and the other element was, you know, the recognition when you do really meet, because some of the children were from refugee backgrounds, and I think part of the love that was in the teacher as he opened up was, you know, the people who don't know the education system in the West, in the UK, you know, so there's a disconnect for them as well. So the heart that said, hey, they're also not participating because of their own isolation. So how do we welcome that? And so there was a lot of, you know, the word love really stands out for me, because that seems to be, and certainly from speaking, hearing people like Amy, Bob, it seems to be one of the qualities that comes online when you start to relax from the contraction and really meet what's here. It's this quality of love and heart.
Well, as you're sharing this, I'm thinking about the context we find ourselves in today, you know, with the poly crisis, the meta crisis, as people call it, you know, these collection of crises that can't be solved one at a time or individually. And the invitation that's making and for us to evolve, it seems. I'm just curious for you, if you, you know, and we have, so we have the climate crisis, we have AI coming in. Could you say something about what you've seen as being the invitation for coaches in these times? I think that's connected to everything we're sharing about how we need to respond and adapt in order to remain relevant, to do the most powerful work we can.
I mean, there's two ways of coming in. One is just more broadly, and then I could talk a bit specifically around each one, or at least some thoughts on each one. But yeah, one thing we know about the poly crisis is they're absolutely interconnected. You know, for organizations, for leaders, you can't solve the climate issue without looking at AI. You know, we know, for example, AI is, you know, using up electricity, water, you know, so they're all interconnected. So facing those challenges as a leader in an organization, when you're looking at it from that lens, you know, we need to hold an interconnected view. And if I come in more specifically for, you know, what's relevant for coaches today, but start with AI because I'm really focused in on that in the world of work at the moment. You know, for coaches, I also think AI is really bringing up that question of what does it mean to be human versus machine? You know, you've got these results from AI that show, like, you know, we spoke to Nikita Blanch in a podcast. You know, one of his, you know, really well done experiment shows AI performs as well as human beings, you know, under certain conditions. And what we're seeing is that disruption is also challenging the coaching industry. So again, that's really interconnected. And specifically, if I bring it down to kind of a more earthy level for what it means for us as a coach, you know, the areas where AI is starting to perform really well is in the area of models, you know, the kind of more A to B type coaching, which has a place when you're, you know, learning a skill or role playing or trying to build a new specific muscle. But then if that work gets done by an AI, you know, where's the development pathway, or what do we need to develop as coaches? And for me, it brings us back into the relational space. You know, AI currently, at least for now, and I'm pretty sure for the near future, you know, doesn't have an organism, a body, you know, a reptilian system, or, you know, an animal system, a cognitive system. It's currently a mathematical probability tool that knows how to do language through that. Whereas for human beings, what we've been talking about is how do we then tune in to the other person, to the relationship, to the relationships that are out there. So I think that particular disruption is really inviting us as coaches to connect to the relationships. And that's where I think coaching will start to become more important to focus on when it comes to the human intervention and, you know, where the power for transformational coaching is.
So, in a sense, what I'm hearing is the type of coaching which is focused on emergence, on meeting what's here, so something reveals itself, and that the coach is participating in that unfoldment, and that the quality of the relationship between the client and the coach, or between the coach and the team, is actually an essential component of the transformational work taking place. That seems to be something, at least for now, AI is not going to be able to replicate. As you said, it's not sentient yet. It's not embodied yet, feeling emotions, things like that. So, yeah, does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, spot on. Yeah. And as you play that back, you know, the other thing I'm noticing is something we've touched on earlier is, you know, the way I see AI being created. Like if you open ChatGPT, it's how can I help you? What answers can I give you? How will I help you to get to where you want to go? That paradigm is currently the way AI is built in. You know, it's the getting you from A to B, you as an individual. And my concern around AI is you scale that, suddenly you're kind of putting that paradigm and accelerating it across the whole globe. And I think more, and we know that paradigm ultimately leads to where we are, which is, that there's a lack, we're going after things and with the view that we don't already have it. I think in this other paradigm that there, we talked about love, but I think there's this sense of almost the opposite of lack, but a sense of abundance. And I think as humanity comes towards that kind of existential place with our own consciousness, that if we view our world from this place of lack that needs to get from A to B, we're going to keep pushing harder, going after more, and then disconnecting more and more because we draw on resources for our own benefit. I think the shift into this paradigm that actually invites that connection back to the abundance of who we are. I think that's huge. And, and again, just to make this more tangible, Bob is going to be talking about that field that is our resource, which really speaks to the well-being agenda. Again, well-being isn't about getting yourself to a better place. It's about resourcing back to who we are. And from that is where we get our resource as well. So that's another space that's very current in the world around well-being. I think this shift into the paradigm and the field that we're living in becomes really important.
Yeah, just to build on that, this idea of a lot of leaders feeling a little overwhelmed with the complexity of the environments they find themselves in. I've been thinking about this and seen this with my clients that it's both the supporting them to regulate themselves in that complex environment. So, easily people can become overwhelmed, dysregulated, which then actually kind of changes the way we're feeling, the way we're thinking, and what we're seeing, and the way we're relating. So, how can I support leaders to regulate themselves? And that's both in the moment. So, as I'm with a client, I'm supporting them to practice self-regulation by meeting exactly what's here. We spoke about that earlier. So there's a kind of meta competency of them going away and being able to self-regulate. And over time, the more we meet what's showing up, the more that begins to integrate, the more that builds a kind of stronger container, so to speak, that less they are more able to experience the experiential intensity of being in complex environments. And so that's an important part of the picture here. And it's difficult to support leaders if the coaching you're doing is still kind of atomizing the leader, if it's really focusing on them being the kind of heroic leader. I'm saying that to kind of as a caricature, like, because I know a lot of coaches don't really play that game, but still, if your coaching is not including the relationships, the system that that person is a core part of, then it's also very difficult to support them in navigating that complexity. There's a kind of complexity intelligence, a systemic intelligence that one can tap into that you described beautifully before, where it's like you could have really struggled to help that teacher, work out a solution. Like, what are they going to do? It's on them to sort this out. What are they going to do? But no, as you included the wider system, there was a clear kind of sense of what wanted to reconnect that wasn't connected. And so I wanted to name that here too, because I think it's just one of the fundamental capacities we're being invited to bring as a coach to our clients to help them thrive in complexity, which is learning how to work with emergence, to take, to be where we are and take the next step.
Yeah, it's beautiful, Joel. I think that shift from the me that's holding it all to system in relationship, it is, almost a very powerful symptom or impact of that is the well-being that comes because you're tapped into something greater and you're responding with, and in relationship as opposed to taking it all on board and trying to be the one that's trying to make it happen. And so There's this real gift in that shift of, okay, if I'm participating in this and I'm going to tune into that, you know, I'm resourced, I'm less stressed because it's not all about me making it happen. And then I'm inviting people into the relationships that need to be reconnected, which creates a whole new different well-being experience for the leader, as much as a different impact on leadership itself. I think it's a really great, yeah, connection. Yeah, it's making me think about the other example I thought about, because I noticed the parallel, and I had a coaching session yesterday on this, and I'll try and make this relevant to this conversation. But the parallel is, you know, as a dad, my daughters didn't go to a table tennis class this week, and they're kind of waning in their motivation, you know. And as the father here, you know, I noticed I got stressed with, you know, and started to feel like a bit of blame towards my wife, who was supposed to take them and letting them go easily. And actually, I had a coaching session yesterday, and this has been really up for me more broadly. But this part of me that was thinking, I've got to now motivate them, you know, discipline is important, and I really want my kids to have that, you know. And I'm noticing, even as I'm saying, you know, I've got to, and it's important for me, and then for them, individually, to then find that. And in the coaching session, this invitation to step back and see the system in itself was already resourcing, just coming to your point about well-being. It was like this huge relief of there's something bigger happening here. Let's pay attention. Let's tune in. And, you know, what I noticed was that there was the male in me kind of driving, you know, pushing, stressing, and noticing that historical pattern, that's, you know, part of my ancestry, part of being a man. And what they were screaming about, actually, or not wanting to go, was, Dad, we're losing the fun in this. And I've not been able to go because of an injury. So I've been kind of driving them there and back. So I haven't been in relationship with them much over the past couple of months. So I was then able to listen into, actually, what is it that you're really saying, rather than me thinking you've got to get here. And it was, we were losing the fun. We're tired. We want to, you know, we thought this is going to be a fun experience of learning and growing, and actually it's become a bit of a task. So I was able to tune into their voice, you know, and they're both girls, very strong girls, and tell me straight when things aren't going right, but reminding me about the importance of relating when I'm learning something, you know. And I'd kind of lost that in the activity of the discipline. And so we had our first conversation last night as a family to start the ball rolling. And, you know, I'm already noticing there's a shift happening in the field, and I'm not controlling it. We're just having the dialogue. But the broader system, you know, what we're all bringing, and then the revealing of something that hopefully brings us back into relationship to the learning here, and also the, you know, the bit I bring, which is, I think there is a value in the discipline, but it's got to be fun too. And we've got to connect together at the same time. And the coaching session was exactly that. It was, okay, let's look at what's here. There's your contraction here, Kareem. There's some voices here. You're not quite listening to them when you're in your contraction. And then the solution isn't in you to show them, which is what I was going to do, show them some Coach Carter video about how his discipline really helped me to be great. I got it downloaded from Amazon. It was a real challenge to actually, what is here in you, your contraction? What are the voices actually saying now that you can hear them and you've relaxed? And then inviting that kind of emergence of something different to emerge for each of us individually and as a family system as well. And I just come back to the well-being point that triggered this, a huge relaxation in me of love. You know, it's like I came back into love for my daughters, for their screaming and saying, I'm not going. A love for their voice, some compassion for the part in me that gets a bit, you know, caught in the ambition drive. You know, so there's a love for all of it. And then, you know, the dialogue that we need to hold with love as well.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story there. Yeah, I love that you bring in love here, actually, because I know Amy will be talking about that. And I'm just reading the work of Andreas Weber, who's written Matter and Desire. He's a biologist, but he's kind of saying that how can we explore biology through the microscope you know, as if we're a kind of somehow separate from nature. So he's kind of saying, like, the invitation is to, and I'm just looking, I've just got his book here, if I can find it. But it's a matter of the heart, a science of the heart. And that actually it's about the experience of being alive and being in relationship. And there's something for me so evocative about that. You know, we don't often talk about love in coaching, I think. You know, I think it's a word that I'm starting to see more in leadership and business contexts as well. And why I think it's interesting in the context of our conversation is because it's not a noun. You know, that's the whole point here. It's like coaching is not a noun. Love is not a noun. It's a verb. We're being invited into the into participating with our experience. And your story is just a beautiful example of starting to see how there was a contraction and a kind of reification in the system. And as that was able to be met, to be named and met and included, there was a kind of a melting of that reification and a kind of entering back into the flow of experience. And I think love, that's where we encounter love, this sense of intimacy, of connection. So I just wanted to name that. And yeah, Amy will be actually talking about this territory in the first module of Reimagine Leadership.
Yeah, beautiful, Joel. And, you know, it just connects back to the big issues of our time. You know, when I think about the others that we didn't talk about, and including climate, you know, it is that love that we have for our planet that inhabit, you know, that we inhabit, that we participate in. It's love for the diversity of human beings. You know, it's, and that's the energy that I think allows us to look at our patterns that are in the way with love, allow them to dissolve as you're describing there, and playing back. And something else is allowed and unfolds from that love and that connection. So it's almost like love connection just go hand in hand. And I think, yeah, coming back to what you were saying about Amy, you know, all of the faculty imbue this love in their work as practitioners. And, you know, and then those tools that we learn actually are born as vehicles for how do we, you know, bring that connection and love to life with our clients and in our practice.
So I've got a question for you, Kareem. So we talked a lot about this worldview. There were some really beautiful and big ideas we've shared, but my question to you is, how does Reimagine Leadership support coaches to coach leaders in with the ideas we've been talking about in a practical way?
Yeah, I think there's two levels, Joel. One is on the level of our being. You know, Bob Anderson's going to be bringing in some of the practices we can start to integrate into our coaching that allows us to tune into this field. And all the teachers will bring some of that in through to Peter Hawkins at the end of module three. And then there's the very practical, you know, so Marita Fritjorn will be talking about paper constellations. So that's a lovely tool to tune in and then to allow the emergence and the revelation, something new. We have Bina Sharma, who's going to be talking about polarities that we meet in the system and how do we tune into the polarity to allow that polarity to reveal a new integrated view. So yeah, all what we've really spoken to the teachers about is it both bring your being and your transmission, as well as what does it look like, so that in the practice groups that we'll set up and the homeworks we've created that really allow you to bring those to life in your coaching practice.
Great, thank you. I feel like this is a good place for us to bring this to a close. There's obviously a lot more we could say about this, but as we do, I just want to invite any of you that might be inspired by our conversation and want to find out more about Reimagine Leadership, that you can head to coachesrising.com/reimagineleadership to find out more. And enrollment will be open until the 29th of October, 2024. So yeah, thanks, Kareem.
Yeah, very in touch with my heart. I really enjoyed conversation. Thanks.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. A reminder that early bird enrollment is now open for our upcoming live training, Reimagine Leadership. This program will take you into a new paradigm of leadership coaching, giving you the skills today's leaders need in a coach while connecting you to your deepest human capacities for transformation. Just go to coachesrising.com/reimagine leadership. And remember, you can get the early bird discount if you join by October the 9th. Here we are. We're at the end of the podcast. Just a heads up again, if you're not on our mailing list and you want to stay in the loop about other things we create, then head to coachesrising.com, put your name in the sign up box there. You'll also find some of our other offerings, our online trainings for coaches there. And just want to end by wishing you well, and I'll see you again next time.